But when the acutes all get their IOUs signed, he steps up to the panel and lifts Billy Bibbit down off it and spits in his big calloused palms and slaps them together, rolls his shoulders. "Okay, stand out of the way. Sometimes when I go to exert myself, I use up all the air nearby and grown men faint from suffocation. Stand back. There's liable to be cracking cement and flying steel. Get the women and kids someplace safe. Stand back." "By golly, he might do it," Cheswick mutters. "Sure, maybe he'll talk it off the floor," Fredrickson says. "More likely he'll acquire a beautiful hernia," Harding says. "Come now, McMurphy, quit acting like a fool. There's no man can lift that thing." "Stand back, sissies, you're using my oxygen." McMurphy shifts his feet a few times to get a good stance and wipes his hands on his thighs again, then leans down and gets hold of the levers on each side of the panel. When he goes to straining, the guys go to hooting and kidding him. He turns loose and straightens up and shifts his feet around again. "Given up," Fredrickson grins. "Just limbering up. Here goes the real effort." And grabs those levers again. And suddenly nobody's hooting at him anymore. His arms commence to swell and the veins squeeze up to the surface. He clinches his eyes and his lips draw away from his teeth. His head leans back and tendons stand out like coiled ropes running from his heaving neck down both arms to his hands. His whole body shakes with the strain as he tries to lift something he knows he can't lift, something everybody knows he can't lift. But just for a second, when we hear the cement grind at our feet, we think, by golly, he might do it. Then his breath explodes out of him and he falls back limp against the wall. There's blood on the levers where he tore his hands. He pants for a minute against the wall with his eyes shut. There's no sound but his scraping breath. Nobody's saying a thing. He opens his eyes and looks around at us. One by one, he looks at the guys, even at me. Then he fishes in his pockets for all the IOUs he won the last few days at poker. He bends over the table and tries to sort them, but his hands are frozen to red claws and he can't work the fingers. Finally, he throws the whole bundle on the floor, probably $40 or $50 worth from each man, and turns to walk out of the tub room. He stops at the door and looks back at everybody standing around. "But I tried, though," he says. "God damn it, I sure as hell did that much now, didn't I?" And he walks out and leaves those stained pieces of paper on the floor for whoever wants to sort through them.